Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 21, Part 3. Qualities of Sri Krishna, Numbers 16 through 30. 16. Expert. Any person who can quickly execute a very difficult task is called expert. And about the expertise of Krishna, there is a statement in the 10th canto, 59th chapter, verse 17 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Shukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit, Yani Yodhai Prayuktani Shastrasrani Purudvaha Haristani Achinatichnai Sharayar Ekaika Shastridi. O best of the Kurus, Sri Krishna cut to pieces all the different weapons used by the different fighters. Formerly, fighting was done by releasing different kinds of arrows. One party would release a certain arrow, and the other party had to defeat it by counteracting it with another arrow. For example, one party might release an arrow which would cause water to pour from the sky. And to counteract this, the opposing party would have to release an arrow which could immediately turn the water into clouds. So from this statement it appears that Krishna was very expert in counteracting the arrows of the enemy. Similarly, at the Rasa dance, each and every gopi requested that Krishna individually become her partner. And so Krishna immediately expanded himself into so many Krishnas in order to be coupled with each and every gopi. The result was that each gopi found Krishna by her side. 17. Grateful. Any person who is conscious of another's beneficent activities and never forgets that service is called grateful. In the Mahabharata, Krishna says, when I was away from Draupadi, she cried out with the words, Hey Govinda! This call for me has put me in her debt, and that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart. This statement by Krishna gives evidence of how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing Him, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. The Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is also simply an address to the Lord and Krishna's energy. So to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and Krishna's energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. It is clearly stated in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to such a devotee. Another instance of Krishna's feeling of obligation is stated in connection with Krishna's dealings with Jambavan. When the Lord was present as Lord Ramachandra, Jambavan, the great king of the monkeys, rendered very faithful service to Lord Ram. And when Lord Ram again appeared as Lord Krishna, he married Jambavan's daughter and paid Jambavan all the respect that is usually given to superiors. Any honest person is obliged to one's friend if some service has been rendered. And since Krishna is the supreme honest personality, how could Krishna forget an obligation to his servitor? 18. Determined. Any person who observes regulative principles and fulfills one's promises by practical activity is called determined. And as far as the Lord's determination is concerned, There is an example of this in Krishna's dealings found in the Hari Vamsa. This is in connection with Lord Krishna fighting the King of Heaven, Indra, who was forcibly deprived of the Parijata flower. The Parijata is a kind of lotus flower which grows on the heavenly planets. Once, Satyabhama, one of Krishna's queens, wanted that lotus flower, and so Krishna promised to deliver it. But Indra refused to part with the Parijata flower, and therefore there was a great fight, with Krishna and the Pandavas on one side, and all of the demigods on the other. Ultimately, Krishna defeated all of them and took the Parijata flower, which Krishna presented to his queen. So in regard to that occurrence, Krishna told Narada Muni, "My dear great sage of the demigods, now you can declare to the devotees in general and to the non-devotees in particular that in this matter of taking the Parijata flower, all the demigods, as well as Gandharvas, Nagas, demon Rakshasas, Yakshas, the Panagas, all tried to defeat me, but none could make me break my promise to my queen." There is another promise by Krishna found in Bhagavad Gita to the effect that Krishna's devotee will never be vanquished. Na me bhakta pranashyati. And so, a sincere devotee who is always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord should know for certain that Krishna will never break his promise. Krishna will always protect his devotees in every circumstance. And thus, Krishna showed how he fulfills his promise by delivering the Parijata flower to Satyabhama, by saving Draupadi from being insulted, and by freeing Arjuna from the attacks of all enemies. The promise of Krishna that Krishna's devotees are never vanquished had also previously been admitted by Indra when he was defeated in Govardhan Leela, when Krishna stopped the villagers of Braja from worshipping Indra. Indra became angry and therefore inundated Vrindavan with continuous rain. Krishna, however, protected all of the citizens and animals of Vrindavan by lifting Govardhan Hill, which served as an umbrella. And after the incident was over, Indra surrendered to Krishna with many prayers, in which Indra admitted, "O my Lord, by your lifting Govardhan Hill and protecting the citizens of Vrindavan, you have kept your promise that your devotees are never to be vanquished." 19. Expert judge of time and circumstances. Krishna was very expert in dealing with people according to circumstance, time, country, and paraphernalia. How Krishna could take advantage of a particular time, circumstance, and person is expressed by Krishna himself while talking to Uddhava about Krishna's rasa dance with the gopis. Krishna says, "The most opportune time is the full moon night in autumn, like tonight. And the best place within the universe is Vrindavan, and the most beautiful girls are the gopis. And so, my dear friend Uddhava, I think I should now take advantage of all these circumstances and engage myself in the rasa dance." 20. Seer by the authority of the scriptures. A person who acts exactly according to the tenets of scripture is called Shastra Chakshus. Shastra Chakshus means one who sees through the eyes of the authorized scriptures. Actually, any man of knowledge and experience should see everything through these books. For example, with our naked eye, we perceive the sun globe simply as some glaring substance. But when we see through authorized books of science and other literature, we can understand how much greater the sun globe is than this earth, and how powerful the sun is. So seeing things through the naked eye is not actually seeing, but seeing things through the authorized books or authorized teachers is the correct way to see. So although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna can see all that is past, present, and future, in order to teach the people in general, Krishna used to always refer to the scriptures. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, although Krishna was speaking as the supreme authority, still Krishna mentioned and quoted Vedanta Sutra as authority. And then there is a statement in Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein a person jokingly says that Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, is known as the seer through the Shastras. In order to establish Krishna's authority, however, Krishna is now engaged in seeing the gopis, and the gopis are becoming thus mad. 21. Pure. There are two kinds of supreme purity. When one type is possessed, one is able to deliver a sinful person. And when the other type is possessed, one does not do anything which is impure. So a person who possesses either of these qualities is called supremely pure. Krishna is both, because Krishna can deliver all sinful conditioned souls, and at the same time, Krishna never does anything by which he can become contaminated. In this connection, Vidura, while trying to detach his elder brother Dhritarashtra from family attachments, told him, "My dear brother, you just fix your mind upon the lotus feet of Krishna, who is worshipped with beautiful erudite verses by great sages and saintly persons. Krishna is the supreme deliverer among all deliverers. Undoubtedly, there are great demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, but their positions as deliverers depend always upon the mercy of Krishna." Therefore, Vidura advised his elder brother Dhritarashtra to concentrate his mind and worship only Krishna. So, if one simply chants the holy name of Krishna, this holy name will rise within one's heart, just like the powerful sun, and will immediately dissipate all the darkness of ignorance. Vidura advised Dhritarashtra to therefore think always of Krishna, so that the volumes of contaminations due to sinful activities would be washed off immediately. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna is addressed by Arjuna as Parang Brahma Parang Dhamma Pavitram, the Supreme Pure. There are many other instances exhibiting Krishna's supreme purity. 22. Self-controlled. A person who can control one's senses fully is called Vashi, or self-controlled. And in this connection, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the 16,000 wives of Krishna were so exquisitely beautiful that their smiling and shyness were able to captivate the minds of the great demigods, even Lord Shiva. But still, they could not even agitate the mind of Krishna, in spite of their attractive feminine behavior. Every one of the thousands of wives of Krishna was thinking that Krishna was captivated by her feminine beauty. But this was not the case. Krishna is therefore the supreme controller of the senses. And this is admitted in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is addressed as Hrishikesha, master of the senses. 23. Steadfast. A person who continues to work until the desired goal is achieved is called steadfast. Once there was a fight between Krishna and King Jambavan because Krishna was trying to take the valuable Syamantaka jewel from the king. The king tried to hide himself within the forest, but Krishna would not become discouraged. Finally, Krishna got the jewel by seeking out the king with great steadfastness. 24. Forbearing. A person who tolerates all kinds of troubles, even though such troubles appear to be unbearable, is called forbearing. When Krishna was residing at the place of his spiritual master, Krishna did not mind taking all troubles in rendering service to his guru, although Krishna's body was very soft and delicate. For it is the duty of the disciple to execute all services unto the spiritual master despite all kinds of difficulties. The disciple, living at the residence of the spiritual master, has to go begging from door to door and bring everything back to the spiritual master. When prasad is being served, the spiritual master is supposed to call each and every disciple to come eat. And if by chance the spiritual master forgets to call the disciple to partake of the prasad, it is enjoined in the scriptures that the student should fast on that day rather than accept food on one's own initiative. And there are many such strictures. Also, sometimes Krishna went to the forest to collect dry wood for fuel. 25. Forgiving. A person who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from the opposite party is known to be forgiving. Lord Krishna's forgiving quality is described in the Shishupal Vada in connection with Krishna's forbidding the killing of Shishupal. King Shishupal was the monarch of the Chedi kingdom. And although he happened to be a cousin of Krishna's, Shishupal was always envious of Krishna. Whenever they would meet, Shishupal would try to insult Krishna and call Krishna ill names as much as possible. In the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira, when Shishupal began to call Lord Krishna ill names, Krishna did not care and remained silent. And some of the people at the arena were even prepared to kill Shishupal, but Krishna restricted them. Thus, Krishna was so forgiving. It is said that when there is a thundering sound in the clouds, the mighty lion immediately replies with its own thundering roar. But the lion does not care when all the foolish jackals begin to make their less important sounds. Sri Yamuna Acharya praises the Lord's power of forgiveness with this following statement: "My dear Lord Ramachandra, you are so merciful to have excused the crow's clawing on the nipples of Janaki simply because of the crows bowing down before you. Once, Indra, the king of heaven, assumed the form of a crow and attacked Janaki Sita, Lord Ramachandra's wife, by striking her on the breast. This was certainly an insult to the universal mother Sita, and Lord Ramachandra was immediately prepared to kill the crow. But because later on the crow bowed down before the Lord, Ramachandra excused the crow's offense." Sri Yamunacharya further says in his prayer, that the forgiving power of Lord Krishna is even greater than that of Lord Ramachandra, because Shishupal was always in the habit of insulting Krishna, not only in one lifetime, but continually throughout three lifetimes. Still, Krishna was so kind that Krishna gave Shishupal the salvation of merging into his existence. And so from this we can understand that the goal of the monist to merge into the effulgence of the Supreme is not a very difficult problem. For persons like Shishupal, who are consistently inimical to Krishna, can also get this liberation. 26. Grave. A person who does not express one's mind to everyone, or whose mental activity and plan of action are very difficult to understand, is called grave. After Lord Sri Krishna had been offended by Lord Brahma, Brahma prayed to Krishna to be excused. But in spite of Brahma's offering nice prayers to Krishna, Brahma could not understand whether Krishna was satisfied or still dissatisfied. In other words, Krishna was so grave that Krishna did not take the prayers of Brahma very seriously. Another instance of Krishna's gravity is found in connection with Krishna's loving affairs with Radharani. Krishna was always very silent about his loving affairs with Radharani, so much so that Baladev, Krishna's elder brother and constant companion, could not understand the transformations of Krishna on account of Krishna's gravity. 27. Self-satisfied. A person who is fully satisfied within oneself, without any hankering, and who is not agitated, even in the presence of serious cause for distress, is called self-satisfied. An example of Krishna's self-satisfaction was exhibited when Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima went to challenge Jarasandha, the formidable king of Magadha, and Krishna gave all credit to Bhima for the killing of Jarasandha. So from this we can understand that Krishna never cares at all for fame, although no one can be more famous than Krishna. An example of Krishna's not being disturbed was shown when Shishupal began to call Krishna ill names. All the kings and brahmanas assembled at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Yudhisthira became perturbed and immediately wanted to satisfy Krishna by offering nice prayers. But all these kings and brahmanas could not discover any disturbance in the person of Krishna. 28. Possessing equilibrium. A person who is unaffected by attachment and envy is said to possess equilibrium. An example of Krishna's equilibrium is given in the 10th canto, 16th chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with Krishna's chastising Kaliya, the 100-headed serpent. And while Kaliya was being severely punished, all of his wives appeared before the Lord and prayed as follows. Dear Lord, you have descended to punish all kinds of demoniac living creatures. Our husband, this Kaliya, is a greatly sinful creature, and so your punishment for him is quite appropriate. And we know that your punishment for your enemies and your dealings with your own sons are both the same. We know that it is in thinking of the future welfare of this condemned creature, Kaliya, that you have chastised him. And in another prayer it is said, My dear Lord Krishna, best of all the Yadu dynasty, you are so impartial that even if your enemy is qualified, you will reward him. And if one of your own sons is a culprit, you will chastise him. This is your business because you are the supreme authority of the universes. You have no partiality, and if anyone finds any partiality in your characteristics, then he or she is surely mistaken. 29. Magnanimous. Any person who is very charitably disposed is called magnanimous. When Krishna was reigning over Dwaraka, Krishna was so magnanimous and charitably disposed that there was no limit to Krishna's charity. In fact, so great was Krishna's charity in Dwaraka that even the spiritual kingdom, with all of its opulence of Chintamani touchstone, desire trees, and Surabhi cows, was surpassed. In the spiritual kingdom of Lord Krishna, which is named Goloka Vrindavan, there are Surabhi cows, which give unlimited quantities of milk. And there are desire trees, from which anyone can take all kinds of fruits, as much as one may desire. The land is made of touchstone, which, when touched to iron, will transform it into gold. In other words, although in the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna, everything is wonderfully opulent, still, when Krishna was in Dwaraka, Krishna's charity exceeded the opulences of Goloka Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna is present, the limitless opulence of Goloka Vrindavan is automatically present. And it is also stated that while Lord Krishna was living in Dwaraka, Krishna expanded himself into 16,108 forms, and each and every expansion resided in a palace with a queen. Not only was Krishna happily living with his queens in those palaces, but Krishna was giving in charity from each palace an aggregate number of 13,054 cows, all completely decorated with nice clothing and ornaments. From each of Krishna's 16,108 palaces, these cows were being given in charity by Krishna every day. So, no one can estimate the value of such a large number of cows given in charity. But that was the system of Krishna's daily affairs while Krishna was reigning in Dwaraka. Number 30. Religious. A person who personally practices the tenets of religion as they are enjoined in the Shastras, and who also teaches others the same principles, is called religious. Simply professing a kind of faith is not a sign of religiousness, for one must act according to religious principles. And by Krishna's personal example, one should teach others. Such a person is understood as religious. When Krishna was present on this planet Earth, there was no irreligion. In this connection, Narada Muni once addressed Krishna jokingly, "My dear Lord of the cowherder boys, your bulls, while eating grass from the pasturing ground and moving on their four legs, have certainly eaten up all the grass of irreligion. Since the bull is the representation of religion, in other words, by the grace of Krishna, religious principles were so well cared for that hardly any irreligious activities could be found. It is said that because Krishna was constantly performing various types of sacrifices and was inviting the demigods from the higher planetary systems, the demigods were almost always absent from their consorts. Therefore, the wives of the demigods, regretting the absence of their husbands, thus began to pray for the appearance of Lord Buddha, which is Krishna's 9th incarnation, who appears in the age of Kali. In other words, instead of being pleased that Lord Krishna had come, they began to pray for Lord Buddha, who is the 9th incarnation, because Lord Buddha would stop the ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices recommended in the Vedas in order to discourage animal killing. The wives of the demigods thought that if Lord Buddha would appear, all kinds of sacrifices would be stopped, and thus their husbands would not be invited to such ceremonies and would not be separated from them. Sometimes it is inquired, why don't the demigods from higher planetary systems come down to this earth nowadays? And the plain answer is that since Lord Buddha appeared and began to deprecate the performance of sacrifice in order to stop animal killing on this planet Earth, the process of offering sacrifices has been stopped, and the demigods do not care to come here anymore. Thus ends chapter 21, part 3 of the Nectar of Devotion, entitled Qualities of Sri Krishna, numbers 16 through 30. Recorded February 21st, 2021, by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the author, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Om Tat Sat.